Item 14, Executive Officer Reports. 14.1, Chief Executive Officer, should I say? Sorry. 14.1, Manningham Quarterly Report, quarter two, September to December 2016-17. Do I have a mover? Councillor Galbley.
I would like to move that the recommendation be adopted.
No. Councillor Conlon. Councillor Galbley. Councillor Conlon. Any against? Speak against? I'll put that to a motion. All those in favour? Carried. 14.2, Appointment of Authorised Officer, Planning and Environment Act 1987, February 2017. Do I have a mover?
I move, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Gough. Do I have a seconder? Councillor McLeish. Councillor Gough.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and this is just a procedural really matter, but it is important because if we have officers doing work, they need to actually be permitted to do so. So this is a recommendation to appoint Steve so he could actually act on behalf of council. And so I just urge council to support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor McLeish.
Nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Anyone against? Put that to a vote. All those in favour? Carried. Item 14.3, documents for sealing. Do I have a mover? Councillor Haynes.
I move that the recommendation be adopted with the addition of the following agreements. Consent agreement to build over an easement, section 173 of the Planning and Environment Act 1987. Council and F&S. Lot Fijam, 2 to 9 Millicent Avenue, Bulleen, and a deed of surrender of lease, Council and Manningham Templestowe Leisure Centre Incorporated, 1 to 9 Anderson Street, Templestowe.
Do I have a seconder? Councillor McLeish. Anything to add, Councillor Haynes?
No, nothing.
Councillor McLeish?
No, Madam Mayor.
Any speaking against? Put it to a vote. All those in favour? Carried. Okay. No. Item 15, notices of motion. Item 15.1, motion, notice of motion by Councillor Paul McLeish, 1-2017. Councillor McLeish.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the notice of motion number 1-2017 be adopted.
Do I have a seconder?
I would like to second that motion.
Councillor Gabbley. Councillor Zephyropoulos.
I'd like to move an amendment. I'd like that officers prepare a report for council's consideration on the council's controls and policies which apply to advertising and users with Manningham, and I'd like this to be added to the motion.
Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that unless you want to take it on board.
I'm happy to take it on board. Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor McLeish, taking it on
Taking board. It on board, Councillor McLeish?
Yep.
Okay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor McLeish?
Thank you. I'll be brief, Madam Mayor. I put this particular motion forward because I've had many conversations with sporting clubs in our municipality over the last 4 years is my role as councillor, and many of them have appraised me of the importance of the role of sponsorships in the operation, effective operation of sporting clubs in our city. The role of sponsorship is crucial in providing funds to meet the day-to-day expenses of operating a club and supporting sport more broadly in our community. And we have a couple of ovals in our municipality where we have quite substantial clubs who have large supporter bases, both in football and in cricket. And those two ovals, namely Warrandyte Reserve and Dominey Reserve, have, by Manningham Council's policy, been restricted from having permanent advertising signage at those ovals. This particular policy has been quite a constraint on the finances of these clubs. And I think it's an opportunity for council to, it's opportune that council seek to change that policy and allow these clubs to be on a level footing with all the other sporting clubs in our municipality. That's the basis of me moving this particular motion, and I'm happy to accept the amendment which says that we should get a further report to council to help inform councillors of the status of this particular matter more broadly in the municipality. But it's key, as far as I'm concerned, to help the operation of these clubs to see this particular amendment go through so that they are set up for the forthcoming football year for the clubs at these grounds and then for the cricket season following. It's an important financial benefit to the clubs and will help their operations enormously, and I ask my fellow councillors to support this particular motion.
Anything further to add, Councillor Zipropoulos? Any against? Councillor Galbally?
Yes, I would just like to add that I'm hoping that everyone does pass this motion. I actually tried to get this over the line 18 months ago in the last council, and so I'm really pleased that it's come again, and thank you to Councillor McLeish for bringing it to our attention.
Okay, any opposed? Put it to a vote. All those in favour? Carried. Item 16, urgent business.
Madam Mayor, there are no items of urgent business.
Item 17. Written questions from the public.
Yes, Madam Mayor, there are seven written questions from the public, and they're just being collated, and I will read them out. Is Ms. Beverly Benias present? Of 37 Scarlet Ash Drive. I might be pronouncing your surname incorrectly. Ms. Benias. The meeting procedure, the questions won't be read out unless the individual is present. I'll take that question on notice anyway. And a response will be provided to Ms. Benias. Okay. Francis Bremner. Is Francis Bremner present? Mr. Richard Suello.
Okay. Please come in.
Thank you, Mr. Suello. I'm going to read out your question. The 574-page report only became available Wednesday afternoon, 15 February 2017. As a community, why have we not been given reasonable time to review the document and given opportunity to provide responses to council findings on our submissions prior to acceptance of the report by council and the potential referral to an independent panel? Ms. Dominic, would you like to answer that question? Would you like me to read? I can reread the question. The 574-page report only became available Wednesday afternoon, 15 February 2017. As a community, why have we not been given reasonable time to review the document and given opportunity to provide responses to council findings on our submissions prior to acceptance of the report by council and the potential referral to an independent panel? Ms. Dominic.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Through the planning amendment process, this is the steps in the process that occur with an amendment. During the whole consultation, which has lasted more than, I think, about 16 months now, we have indicated that that was how the process would proceed.
Mr. Savello's second question. Having a planning requirement for dwellings to be minimum 400 millimetres above natural ground level, particularly for SB03, increases building costs to houses and impacts housing height through having no commensurate changes to planning height requirements. In trying to minimise red tape through implementing more rules and regulation, why is an SB03 overlay required specifying a minimum 400 millimetres above natural ground level for properties with minimal impact when Building Code of Australia already specifies slab heights to be a minimum of 50 millimetres above impermeable areas or 150 millimetres in other cases, with an additional 50 millimetres of fall required within 1 metre around the building? Ms. Dominic?
I can answer the first part of that question. With the SB03, the 400 would mean that there would be no trigger then for a planning permit. If you actually do it at that height, you can still choose to build lower than that, but then you would go through a planning permit process and the engineers would be assessing that process.
Mr. Michael Jandon? Jordan, sorry, I apologise. Your first question reads, why is Council relying on a report to do accurate planning based on LIDOR information, which is 10 years old? Ms. Dominic? Oh, Mr. Harrison.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I presume you're referring to the Australian rainfall and runoff information when you talk about LIDOR information. That's the Melbourne water contours from their Melbourne Water database. That's the only database that we have available. I know that over 10 years there's been development which can change levels in localised areas. Where that level change has been significant and irreversible, we have been out and inspected those sites and made adjustments. But where there's just small changes on properties, the general rule is that if it's not permanent and can be reversible, you don't take it into account. Well, as I said, where there is a significant difference, we have been out to have a look. People have also, through their submissions, provided that sort of feedback, and we've been out to look at specific cases. There have been some adjustments, as you would see in the report. But this methodology is the common methodology used right across Melbourne with every other one that's been done. And it is the only data that's available, unless you were to go out and spend years and years and years levelling every property in the municipality, which would take decades.
But for
the vast majority of the properties, the information is accurate. Where people are raising it with their own properties where they believe it's not, we've been out to check them.
Thank you. Call to order.
Mr. Jordan's second question reads, what does Council think this will do to improve anything in areas zoned Res D? Ms. Dominic?
I'm thinking that might mean the low density zone because we don't have Res D in our planning scheme anymore, so I'll take correction, but I'm assuming that is the low density zone. The same rules that apply to the whole overlay, it is around giving the certainty for development into the future, apply to that zone as would apply to any other zone where the flooding is. There's no distinction.
Thank you.
Mr. David Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong's question reads, what is the definition of a 1 in 100 year storm? How much rain fell on 29 December? There was 83 millimetres storm. No flooding on our property. How does this compute with being classified as SOB3? Mr. Harrison.
Thank you. You've got the question, and I'll just get Mr. Harrison to answer. Please order. Thank you.
Through you, Madam Mayor. We did check that there are four rain gauges within Manningham, or one's just outside Manningham, that are owned by Melbourne Water, and we asked them to do an analysis of the storm on the 29th of December. Those rain gauges showed that there was one area, one pocket of Manningham that received a 100-year storm event, and that was down at Tullamore, the Eastern Golf Course development area. The rest of Manningham received storms of intensity between 30-year return and 50-year return, not a 100-year return event.
Thank you.
A 100-year storm, and this isn't an invention, let me just explain if I may, this is not an invention of Manningham. This is Australia-wide. So the Australian Rainfall and Runoff, who are the national authority that set these standards for all of Australia, define what a 100-year storm is. And they have charts for every part of Australia, including Manningham. So we just use their information. A 100-year storm is a storm with 1% probability that it will occur in any specific year. So there is 1% probability that it will occur in any specific year. And the requirement right across Australia is that all authorities use a 1 in 100 year as the design standard. So if anyone, with all the new subdivisions that are going on around Melbourne, doesn't matter where you are in Australia, they use a 1 in 100 year storm event as the design standard. It varies.
Thank you. Can you please let Mr. Harrison, would you like to let Mr. Harrison please order? Or I'm going to have to close the questions out of respect to the officers. Please, let him just finish. It would be helpful if he could finish, please. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wallheiser. Thank you.
A 1 in 100 year, it's not a case of saying it is one specific number of intensity. It's a 1 in 100 year is modelled using computers. So if you can imagine the storm event, if you imagine intensity in the vertical bar, time in the horizontal bar, a storm event builds up, reaches a peak, and then curves over and then drops off with, you know, over time. If that peak goes above a certain intensity for a particular area, and it's different for different areas, depending on where you are, and lasts a certain duration, then that becomes the critical 100-year storm event. Some storms have got totally different shapes. You know, they might come in hard and fast and then drop off quickly. They might only last for a short period of time at that intensity and not the length of time that it takes for that intensity of rain to actually cause flooding problems. But it's all done by sophisticated computer modelling. I can't stand here.
That was the question that was asked. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Harrison. Thank you. Next question. Thank you.
Mr. Bruce Miller. Hello, Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller, your question reads, may property owners submit a question to the panel in order to receive a written reply? I can provide an answer on that. Well, firstly, council has deferred the matter for 3 months, but if council in 3 months decides to go to panel, you'll have an opportunity to make your arguments to the panel.
So therefore, we have... Thank you. So next question. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. There is a question here, but it doesn't have a name attached to it, but I'll, with your indulgence, Madam
Thank
Mayor,
you,
I'll
yeah.
read it. The report which was released on February 15 last week contained some limited information on the methodology used to estimate flood mapping. This new information needs to be available to the public with sufficient time to inspect and challenge the accuracy and reliability of the computations. There are concerns with this methodology. How and when will the public now, in light of this new information, be given the opportunity to object to the methodology employed with sufficient time to do so? I'll answer that question, Lee. Clearly there's going to be a 3-month period where people will be able to consider the information you have, and council will be considering other mechanisms to enable people to have their say and, as is pointed out here, challenge the accuracy and the reliability of the computations. I don't know whose question that was, but I hope they're here and that answers it. Okay. Okay. I have a question from Denise Chaplin. Denise?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Okay. When will you hold a public meeting where we can express our opinion and ask questions? When will you answer any written submissions specifically? The last answer to the question that was put, council will consider if there was going to be a public meeting, but certainly if any written submissions are made to council, they will be dealt with specifically by officers. If you have you already made a submission or not?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Ms. Dominic, would you like to?
Thank you. Order, please, so Ms. Dominic can answer the question for those.
Through you, Madam Mayor, since the report has gone out, we have had people do addendums and additional, and we have been taking those, and anything extra that came in, if it went off to panel, all of that information would go off to the panel. So certainly people can continue to add to their submission. And in fact, I think we've had a late submission, so we're continuing that process.
Okay, so thank you.
There's more.
There's more.
Yep.
So please let the questions that have come in, give them the right of having the questions.
Mr. Plummer? Okay. Okay. In the next 3 months, what can be done by residents who are dissatisfied with the outcome of individual property submissions re C109? Ms. Dominic?
I think it just is an elaboration of the last point. If people believe they have further information that wasn't outlined in their first submission, they're welcome to add to that submission and treat it as an addendum.
But you didn't answer what was submitted in the first
place. And question two from Mr. Plummer was, what does the council hope to progress in the next 3 months?
Thank you. Thank you. Can the CEO please answer? Thank you. If you'd like to leave the gallery or let the CEO please speak. Thank you. Yes. I'm sorry, sir. We're going to try and let the CEO answer. Thank you.
Okay. I'll reread the question. What does the council hope to progress in the next 3 months? Well, that'll be ultimately a decision of the council, but the deferment is to enable further consultation discussion.
There'll be further consultation with the public to help the new councillors understand the process of which has begun. All right. You will still be able to answer, you will still be able to submit if you've already submitted. You can, if you have more information to add, you'll still be welcome to do that. The cut-off point, you're not cut off from that process to add any information. Sorry, it'll have to be written. I'm sorry, this is the meeting procedure. Sorry, can you restate your name? Sorry, Denise. That will be a decision of council. To discuss, it's a decision of council to discuss how to better further this process. So today, council decided to defer it because they understand that there's a lot here in the public, that this is a very raw and emotional process for you. Absolutely. And Council acknowledges that this evening. So, respectfully, the council sitting here tonight has sought for a deferral so they can gather better information for the decision-making process. All right. So, item 18. Thank you. Thank you. If you'd like to be quiet now, or you're most welcome to vacate the gallery. Item 18. Councillor, question time. Any questions?
Yes, sir. I think there are a lot of
tells you to go to amendment, have your say, manningham.com.au/amendment CO9, and click on how is your property affected.
Yeah.
Now, I spent an hour trying to do that just an hour ago, and you can't do that.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. We'll get that sorted. Councillor? Sorry. Mr. Dominic?
The actual report, attachment 9, goes to all 500 submissions and has an individual response. So that's actually in the council agenda. If you're looking for on the website, we'll double check, but certainly we should be able to help you through finding the response to
We'll get that sorted. Thank you. All right. Okay. Let's go to item 18. Councillor, questions, Henny? Okay, item 19, confidential reports. 19.1, Eastern Organics Procurement Process Tender Evaluation Report. We have two options. Option, Councillor Hounds, Haynes. Thank you. Do I have a seconder? Councillor McLeish. All those in favour? Carried.
Madam Mayor, I move that the recommendation printed in the confidential report be adopted.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for that? Councillor McLeish. Okay, put it to a vote. All those in favour? Carried. Meeting closed.